Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Claude.
If you're here for the first time or if you've missed a few Sundays, we are in this series called The Kingdom of God is Like. And what we're doing, we're going through Matthew 13, where there's a list of parables, and every parable has a message that Jesus is conveying or he's sharing to his people or to the Jews, to his disciples, and also to the spiritual leaders. And again, a parable is not a text that you make a doctrine of it. It's a story with a message. And so what I'd like to do this morning is to tell you two stories that Jesus gives and also what it means. So if you have your Bible, take a look at Matthew 13, verse 44, and I will be calling this message The Great Exchange. It talks about the treasure, and it talks about the pearl of great price. And it says the kingdom of heaven. In Luke, he will say the kingdom of God. And since Matthew is writing to the Jews, when it comes to using the word God, the less is more for the Jew because of the respect of the name of God. So here it says, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field. When a man sought it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So here we have these two parables that are basically saying the same thing. And what we find here, there's two main ideas, two main points that we find, that we discover in this text. The first one is the pursuit. We have this guy that is seeking, or this guy that is finding this treasure, and he goes out and he sells all he has to have the treasure. And he doesn't sell his neighbor's things. He's selling his own things, all that he has, to take a hold of this treasure. And then you have the story of this merchant that knows value. He knows the value of pearls. And so he's looking for pearls. He's searching. The first one he found by accident. And here we find the merchant that is looking for a pearl. And he found this amazing pearl. And he goes and he sells everything to have, to take hold of that pearl. It made me think about a story, I believe it's in 2006, where a Filipino fisherman had found this huge pearl, but he didn't know the value of the pearl. So what he did, I believe it was like, I wrote it here, it was 34 kilos, basically 75 pound. And what he did is he found this pearl and he put it under his bed. And he touched it every day for good luck. But all this time, this pearl was worth $91 million US. That's, you know, he didn't know the value of the pearl, right? Or you have this story of this other guy, Eric Laws, in 92, that is helping a farmer to find his hammer. This farmer lost his hammer in the field, and he asked his buddy, hey, you have a metal detector? Can you help me to find my hammer? And the funny story is that this guy goes and with his metal detector, and he finds a treasure that was buried from around 400 years AD in the Roman Empire. It was worth $2.3 million. That's pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny. You're going with metal detector, you're looking for a hammer, you find this box with all these coins. So when coming back to the story, it's an amazing picture of pursuit that this guy or this merchant sells everything to take a hold of this treasure. So that's the first point. And the second point that we find is the value of the treasure. It's like you won't sell everything that you have if there's no value to it, right? If you find something of value, and you probably do some garage sale. I know my wife is very, very extremely unbelievable buying stuff on garage sale, and she always tells me about her finds. But I know that she has to seek a little bit to find these treasures. And so the thing is, when it comes to this parable, remember these two points. One, the effort of searching for something that you consider of wealth. And second is, what is that treasure, right? What is that treasure? So when Jesus is giving these two parables, he encourages the person, or the picture is, encourages to go hard for what you believe is valuable, but at the same time, know what you're pursuing. If I ask you this question this morning, what are you pursuing? What's your dream? What are you running after? And the second question is, why? What's the value of that dream? What's the end? What is the treasure at the end of the rainbow? What's the goal? What do you want to achieve? And so when we look at this parable, there's two interpretations when it comes to this parable, or there's two ways of seeing it, but I believe they're really connected, and they are joined together. The first one is God's people are his treasure and also his pearl of great value. And where God seeks after that treasure and desires that treasure. And that is a good resume of the message of the gospel. Like it says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, for God shown his great love for us by sending his son, by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, Christ came and laid his life down so that we can be reconciled to the Father. And the thought is that God pursued us and went hard after us. And that's what we see when we look at the Old Testament. We see the focus of the Old Testament. It's really Jesus, the first coming and the second coming. We also find in the parables of Jesus these three parables of this lost sheep that loses its way and finds itself alone in the wilderness. And we find the shepherd that goes after the lost sheep and puts the sheep on his shoulder and brings back the sheep to the fold, right? And we also have this image that follows the other parable of this lady that lost a coin. She had 10 coins, she lost one, and she takes the broom out and she calls family and she's desperately looking for the lost coin. And when she finds that lost coin, she makes a party and she celebrates with her neighbor that what was lost was found, right? And Jesus is talking about people that are coming to him and or people that are saying yes to the gospel. And in the same story, he tells, or the same context, he tells the third parable of the prodigal son, where the son leaves his father and leaves with his inheritance, and he spends it on his own choice and his own passions and loves, and finds himself basically poor and alone, and he decides to go back to the father's house. And you know the story, right? Where the father's waiting for him, arms wide open, and when the son arrives, the father meets with him and loves on him and puts a ring to his finger, sandals to his feet, and a mantle on his shoulder, saying, "My son that was lost now has returned home." And then he kills a calf and he makes a celebration. So when we look at these images that we find in the scripture, we definitely can see the pursuit of God, where God pursues his creation, pursuing me and you and me. And so we don't want to miss that truth where God is pursuing me and you. So when it comes to this interpretation, I think it's a huge one. It's a beautiful one of God leaving, or God doing this divine exchange, where God exchanges his son for us. And it's something personal. It's like he gives his son so that we might have eternal life. And we see this journey and this action and this sacrifice. We see this through the Bible, this investment of the Father to rescue us, right? Such a beautiful story. And when your eyes are open to this awesome story of God's pursuit, that God pursues us and wants us in the fold, I don't know, it just brings such a sense of worship and a sense of honest, right? And also, Why does he do it? It's because he values us. To see that he does all this because he looks at me, he looks at you, and he says it was worth doing this for them. It was worth doing it for Claude, for Abe, or for John. It was worth doing it for you. What a story, right? And it's I think when you let that resonate in your heart, it's overwhelming. And I believe it's important for us to see this parable in this way for the first interpretation, where God wants to love on us and God wants to rescue us. And I really believe that when we take a hold of this, it shapes the way or the decisions we make. It shapes the way that we choose how we make decisions when it comes to life. If we let that be that foundation. There's some of us, we've been in the church for many years. Listen, there's some of us, we understand the story of the gospel. We understand the story of the cross. But sometimes at the same time, we forget how powerful it is, how life-changing it is, how much God placed some effort to rescue me. What all was put in play for my rescue. I look at my own conversion, how God is this master chess player. And he plays and he gets a hold of Claude, or he brings Claude to a corner. And we're not in court in a bad way, but in a place of he brings me to a place of decision. Well, what am I going to do? And he does all this for me because he wants to be with me, because he wants me in the fold. And you have this picture of Jesus knocking at the door of the church. You see Jesus always pursuing us. That's the nature of God. How beautiful it is, right? And the reason why he does that, it's because of what he values. And so that means that if he's willing to do all this and to go all out and to fulfill all what he has fulfilled for me and you, did you know? Do you know how valuable you are? That you're not a fluke of evolution? That you're not a mistake? That your life is valuable for him? You might be going through a season that it's difficult right now. You might have challenges in your life. You might not be where you want to be in your faith. You might be right now lukewarm, or you might be a little confused. The reality is, think about how much God values you. Think about that this merchant that knows the value of the pearl. He goes out and he sells everything he has to take a hold of your life, to rescue you. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus is that merchant that sells his own life, gives his own life. And we find that in Philippians chapter 2, that he said no to the glory and he took the form of a slave so that we can be rescued. How that is life-changing. And like I said, you might be here for the first time, or you might be here forever. But don't forget that. Remember this amazing gift that we have to free us. This amazing gift and what was done to free us. That Father, the Son, gave everything for us to be reconciled with Him. What an amazing story, right? What an amazing story. And so what we want, when we look at this story, we say, God, thank you for your immense love. Thank you for your rescue. And thank you for valuing me. Can you say that to your neighbor? I'm valued by God. I'm valued by God. It's unreal, right? Unreal. And so we want to see that. We want to live with that. We want to experience that. And the other interpretation that other commentators or scholars will say is that that God is, or Jesus is that treasure, and that Jesus is this pearl. And so when you understand the value of God, when you understand how precious he is, then you go and sell all that you have to take a hold of that gift. And we understand it's not a question of works, because we know that works cannot bring yourself to closer to God, because we're saved by grace. But this thought that It might be my response to God's gift. For example, I look at the first interpretation and I find it's marvelous, where God values us and he does all this to get a hold of us. Wow. But I believe what happens, the next step, is when I understand that what God was, how God valued us and all the steps that he took to take a hold of my life. And as you walk with the Lord, you'll see that as you go forward, you go through scripture, you see more and more steps that God took to get a hold of our lives, right? And we are renewed and refreshed all the time to see all the effort and all the energy that God put into to rescue me. Maybe that causes me to do the same. I look at these two parables. I believe the focus, if I give you in a nutshell what it really means, it's the power of surrender. That when you surrender yourself, like God surrendered himself, he gained us. And for him to have us, he needed to die on the cross. Because of our sins, we cannot go to God because there's a wedge between us and God. And we needed forgiveness, and Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen? And so we understand that. But at the same time, it's also this divine exchange where after I've seen how much I'm loved and valued by God, and I look at what was done and how he values me, brings me to a place of surrender also. I don't think you can discover the fullness of God without surrender. The way of the cross was the way to get us. It's an amazing story, and God didn't have to, but he wanted to. But the other side is our response to that. I believe that when we understand what he has done for us and we respond to him with surrender as he surrendered his life, you say no to live your own life and to live a life that honors him. This is where God moves into your life. But at the same time, it's what a deal. Think about it. Trading my own life to receive his. What a deal. I remember many years ago, I was shopping. It's not even comparable, but just to give you an idea, just a stupid illustration, I guess. I was looking for a bike. I was shopping on Kijiji for a bike, and I found a DaVinci Copenhagen bike, a beautiful bike that's worth, I don't know, $2,200. And it was for sale for $600. I remember in the morning, it's $600, brand new bike. Oh, unreal. So I remember doing all the leg work and to email him and calling him and wanted to be the first on the list to have that awesome bike. I wanted to spend $500, but $100 more to have a bike like that. Let's do it, right? So I remember having this conversation with this guy. Why are you selling this bike for so cheap? And he tells me this story, and I don't have time to go through the story, but what a deal. What a deal. I went home. I was bragging about it. I got this amazing bike, brand new bike, $2,000 plus tax at least for $600. What a steal. But when you look, if you stop a moment, you think about this divine exchange where you see God, the maker of the universe, the creator of all things, the one that makes the heaven his throne and the earth his footstool, the Alpha and the Omega, the one that is beyond time, reaches out, does the legwork, and does all what he can to reach me and to value me and to put a price on me. This is clothed the church, my creation is worth it. I don't know. It should trigger something in my life, right? And in return, I come back to him and I love him back. It's like, it's I need to see it, right? It's like, it's love responds to love. And I need to see this amazing love, and I need to receive this amazing love. Like Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with loving kindness. And this is the heart of God. And so we see God wanting us and desiring us. And so what we want, I think what we need to see when it comes to the second interpretation is to see Jesus as our treasure and as our pearl. And love awakens love. Can you say that to your neighbor? Love awakens love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Love awakens love. When we see a sacrificial love, we don't respond out of duty, but out of devotion. Like, it's not about religion anymore. It's about devotion. Religion says, I have to do. Devotion says, I want to. Well, that's what devotion is. I want to. Religion keeps cars. Devotion pours out perfume. Devotion is you're caught up with Jesus because of what, and Mary, before Jesus went to Jerusalem, the last Passover, understood what was happening, that Jesus, the Son of Man, was going to lay his life. So she took the best of the best and poured everything on Jesus' feet and loved on him. And then you have one of the disciples, Judas, said, you should have spent that money to the poor. But Jesus said, but she knows what she's doing, you don't. That's my interpretation. That's what devotion is, right? So the story talks about that, devotion. The devotion of God towards his creation and the return of our devotion towards him. What a beautiful story. It just compels me to love him and to worship him. Like I said, it's not by works. Like in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So it's not about riches, because here it talks about those that are spiritual bankrupt. The kingdom of God belongs to them. So it's about desiring God. If there's something that we see in this text, these two parables, it's desire. What do I desire? Well, we see what God desires. It's me and you. Think about this. Can I repeat this? We discover in the gospel the desire of God. It's you and me. That's his desire. That's his desire. That's his longing. Actually, the story of humanity is about God desiring to be with us, walking with us, relating with us, being present in our lives. He always wanted to be with his people, but we have a tendency of searching after other treasures, other pearls. And we run after this and we run after that. But the reality is all that we find on this planet is temporary. How many of you like a good meal? A good steak? Oh, come on. But the next day I'm hungry again. You buy this car, decade later, you're looking for another one. Right? If you're a mechanic, you can have a little longer. For me, not more than 10 years. I'll be like the Flintstones. I'll be running under the car. Everything has an expiration date. Everything. So I have the choice of living for everything that will pass away. Everything will pass away, right? But one thing that doesn't pass away is the word of God. And when it says the word of God, it means what God is saying. And God is saying, Jesus is saying to the crowd, he's saying, hey, this is my heart. I will go all out to have a hold of you. That's my heart. And what are you going to do about it? How will you respond to it? It's respond with the same idea, right? To respond to him in the same way. Yeah. Like the trade-off was not sacrificial, really. It was with joy. And when the Father sent the Son, and the Son gave his life, it was with joy, knowing that they would get the best treasure ever. It's the same thing with us. When we choose them, we do this trade-off, like I said, is what a deal do we have, you know? It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, in view of God's mercy, offer your body as living sacrifice. In view of God's mercy, because of what God has done, you give your own life to him. You lay your life on the altar because it's, what a trade. Trading Christ for my life, what a trade. I'm the winner of this. It's a gain for me. When I look at what the world has to offer, like I said, it's temporary. Look what Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work and a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. Therefore, there was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Like, you think about Solomon, he had everything under the sun, and everything is vanity. He says the same thing in Proverbs 23, verse 4. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Temporary. Just temporary. And Paul says it so clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. So fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Wow. When we look at the time that we have on planet Earth, it goes so fast, it's ridiculous, right? For those that have gray hair or no hair, like, it's unreal how time flies. You know, and you have this text in Isaiah, and I thought it was funny because I could picture how Isaiah delivered this message. It says, a voice said, shout. So God is saying, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Imagine him being here right now and shouting this. Shout that the people are like grass. You are grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as a flower of the field. You're like a flower. You're growing now, but one day fall will come and you'll disappear, right? The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. So he's reminding the Israelites that that's what life is. So are you going to focus on what is temporary and focus on pleasure, focus on riches and make it your pursuit? It's like the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever. You know, when I consider how miserable I am without him, how selfish and self-centered, broken and empty I am without him. Like, it's like, I can't live for that. Like when I walk in the flesh, I'm burning bridges. When I walk in the flesh, I'm hurting people. When I'm walking in the flesh, I fulfill my desires of the flesh, and it puts a guilt and a wall between me and him. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And I know that nothing good lives in me that is in the sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I can't live like this. There must be more, right? And Jeremiah says it in his words in chapter 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. And desperately wicked, who really knows how bad it is? Because we don't know what's in one another's heart, but God sees it. So we can't live for that because we know the dead end it brings us, right? When you pursue the desires of the flesh, you put God on the side, you look at the rewards. For those that have been on this journey long enough, you are getting what I'm saying. It's not good. It's not good. It's not worth it. Then there's no meaning to life because whatever we touch, it's not good. So this is why we need God, right? And this is why we find God saying, or the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. So I want to challenge you with this thought as I close up this morning. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And my question is, where is my heart right now? When I look at this parable, these two parables, I see God giving himself up for me. And I see God valuing me to the point that he will give everything up to have my life. Think about this. Think about the cross for a moment. Think about what happened there. Think about the suffering. Think about the sacrifice. Think about the pain that the Son of Man experienced so that he can have us, so that we can be reconciled with the Father. It's unreal. We need to realize that love awakens love. That as much he has loved us, why don't we love him back? Why don't we make him our treasure? And why does he not become the pearl that I pursue and I'm willing to lay everything down to have. And I'm going to tell you that's it's the greatest thing that you'll ever do, that when we understand his value. Like, if I don't have a lot of time, a moment, if I would understand the value of God, if I would take a portion of who he is and his greatness and power, just brings me to a place of surrender, right? What a trade-off. You're training, you're giving up your life and you're gaining his. And as you surrender, he deals with fear, hurts, your future, my life, my family, time, resources. He's got his fingers in it, and everything is blessed because he's in it. So my call to you this morning, wherever you are on this journey, you've been, like I said, maybe a Christian for many, many years. But are you challenged by this verse that says, you are deeply loved, and everything was done, everything that happened in this, the history of the Bible, the history of humanity, is for me to be reconciled with him? And are you also challenged with this thought that surrender is the place of this meeting place, that as the Son of God surrendered and I surrender, this is where I see him in my life? I just pray that there would be another layer in our hearts of surrender and that we would place ourselves before the Lord. And maybe you're here this morning for the first or the few times. And maybe you're here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus. You know about God, but you've never received his love for whatever reason. Because you don't feel worthy or because you never thought you were valuable. But I got to let you know that you're valuable. That's the story of this parable. You're valuable for him and he really, really loves you. And so my prayer is that we would experience that divine exchange. I would ask you to stand. Thank you so much for listening.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.